You have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 16, verse 23. Just going to read one little part of verse 23, the first part. It says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." The title of the message is, "If we believe this, then what?" If we really believe this, you know, it's hot outside, but it's nothing like what hell is like. And if we believe this, what then? Well, a preacher had just finished preaching a very strong sermon on the subject of hell, and a man from the congregation said to his pastor, "Don't you know that most of the up-to-date preachers have taken hell out of the Bible?" And the preacher responded like this, "They may have done that, but the trouble is they haven't destroyed the place." Jonathan Edwards preached his sermon on the sinner in the hands of an angry God many times during his ministry. It was said that when he preached the sermon, men would grab hold to the back of the pews and they would hold on for dear life for fear that they would fall into the very pits of hell. Hell hasn't changed and it won't ever change. It is what it is. And we're going to talk about that this morning. The doctrine of hell is not a popular subject. And I know that we'd rather preach about heaven, but I also realize that we must declare the whole counsel of God, and that includes hell as well as heaven. I also know that we don't like to talk about murder. We don't like to talk about rape or poverty or sickness or death. But these things are real problems. Though we do not like to think about this place called hell, man must face up to the fact that we have a place of punishment, and that punishment is called hell. And we must realize that if men persist in living in their sins, that one day they will spend all eternity in that place that the Bible calls hell. Well, if we believe this, then what? What then? In other words, if we believe this, how are we responding to the challenge that it presents to us this morning? The Bible teaches it. It is our sole authority. It says in Psalms 9:17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." Daniel 12:2 says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Matthew 25:46 says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." I think a good question to ask ourselves this morning, and there's not anybody here that I would think that would believe that there is not a place called hell, but I also know that we need to understand that in light of that and what we believe, how do we respond? How do we see our community? How do we see our city? I mean, all the folks around us, many of them are not Christians. And if we believe what we believe, and a lot of our family members are not Christians, and if we believe what we say that we believe, then what are we doing about it? The Bible says in Revelations chapter 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, we've got friends and we've got family members that if they don't get saved, do we really believe that they're going to hell? You see, a lot of times we say we believe that, but we don't act on it. And it really doesn't grip our soul to the point that we get out and tell them and try to reach them and win them before it's eternally too late. All you've got to do is look in the paper and you see every day folks are dying. I've had friends to pass away. Those that I played softball with, I've had some of them to pass away, and I preached some of their funerals. You've had people that you know to pass away, and some of them weren't ready to pass away. Some of them were not Christians. They still had their sins intact, and they were on the road to a devil's hell. And maybe it is we could have said something that would have changed their destiny. Maybe we could have done something that would point them in a different direction. You see, we have a responsibility. And I think in these next days and years or weeks, whatever we've got left, that we need to retool. And we need to re-energize ourselves into going out with a passion and telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says, I believe in heaven, but not in hell. Well, I can tell you the Bible says a whole lot more about heaven or about hell than it does about heaven. And it just reminds me it is a real place. I don't like to think about it. I don't like to think about death. I don't like to think about somebody dying and going and spending all eternity in hell in that place of punishment. But, brethren, it's real. And I know that the modern day church does not preach on hell. At our national convention, that was stated several times. That we live in an age that we're trying to minimize sin and trying to air condition hell. But God's word hasn't changed. You know, we warn men of the error of their ways. It's just like telling somebody, some child, don't play with fire. And Phil remembers the time when we were at Star City, and it was on a Wednesday night, and they went on to the house which was adjacent to the church, and all of a sudden we heard a blood-curdling cry, and it was Philip Wayne. They decided they were going to strike up a match, you know, and they got some wood together. They was going to build up a little bonfire. Well, they got some gasoline. In the process, he had it up his arm. Well, he lit the match, and about that time, it went up his arm. And we heard that blood-curdling scream, and we ran back, and there wasn't many there on Wednesday night, and we ran back around the house, and my daughter, Becky, got the hose, and she wet him down. Maybe saved his life or his arm. But, you know, I never had to tell him don't play with matches anymore. But, you know, we warn people of the error of their ways, and they come into church, and they listen to what the preacher has to say, and they say they believe it, but I think all they do is give mental assent to it. And they don't really believe it in their hearts like they ought to. If they did, they'd do something about it. You see, we're here, and our job is to warn them of the error of their ways. Our job is to try and help to redeem them, bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of a place is hell. I tell you, it's a place of separation. He said, depart from me, you cursed. Separation from all the promises and the blessings of God. Now, we take it for granted that the church doors are always going to be open. On Sunday morning, Wednesday night, we have services on Sunday night. And we take it for granted that we can come and that we can call out to God and know that He's going to hear our prayers. We take it for granted. We take it for granted that we are able to breathe. We're able to have health, to be able to go out and go to work and provide for our families. We take all of these things for granted. But the truth of the matter is, these are blessings that come from God. Hell is a place where all of these things stop. You see, you can call out to God today and He'll hear your cry. It can be an audible voice or an inaudible voice, but you can call to God and have the assurance that He'll listen. But in hell, you can cry and holler and scream, and He'll never hear. And then there's separation from loved ones. And I know this is a hard, hard thing. But we look around and we see our loved ones that are lost. You better look close. Because in hell it is a place of separation. He cast them into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. We believe that hell is a place of separation, not only from God and all the blessings of God, but from our loved ones. Hell is a place of punishment. A soul was brought to judgment. He lived in sin. He spurned his father's prayers and his mother's tears. He scorned every invitation that was extended to him. He said, I'll live without God. I'll do as I please. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. Now he stands before God condemned. He has no hope. He is going to be separated from God. If we believe this, what then? Now, if we really believe that folks are going to be separated from God and all the blessings of God, and all of this is irredeemable, what then? Hell is a place of suffering. Now, we suffer down here. We have sickness. I was at the hospital when I had her appendix removed, and she was hurting. She was suffering. I've been in the hospital, and I'm going to tell you, it's no good place to go if you don't have to go. And the doctor asked you, do you have any pain? Yeah, I've got pain, you know. Well, when you go to hell, you'll have pain 24/7, and it never, ever ceases to be. Hell is a place of eternal suffering. You know, it wouldn't be so bad if we had hope at some point it's all going to be over. You know, if there was a possibility that death could come into hell, then it would be welcomed as an angel of mercy. But there's no death in hell. Death and hell have been cast into the lake of fire, along with all of those that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell is a place where men reap the harvest of sin. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A person can say, Dad, you led me here by your wicked example. I didn't have a chance. Your testimony, your influence on my life led me in the wrong direction. Or they can say, Mom, you never cared about going to church. You never cared about spiritual things, and I followed your influence. What a terrible thing. But it reminds me that you've heard that statement, we need to keep our eye on the ball. I think that this is a warning to us as Christians as well. You know, it's not just the fact that there are lost folks out there going to hell. But brethren, we don't always live like we ought to live. We don't always do what we ought to do. We need to keep our eyes focused on the spiritual things. Because I'm convinced one of these days before very long, our Lord's going to say it's enough. If he doesn't, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Hell is a place of memory. He said, son, remember. This man did remember. He had the memory of a misspent life. He said, remember, you had the good things in life and Lazarus had the evil things. Now he's comforted and you're tormented. He lost his family. He said, I've got five brothers back there that they're coming to this same place. They're following my example. Won't you send somebody back to warn them? Hell is eternal because there's a great gulf fixed to where we can't pass from there to heaven or from heaven to there. We live in a time when we are at ease in Zion. I listen to preachers preach. And when you go to the National Convention, you hear a lot of sermons. And there's a whole lot of classes where you can go to and seminars. But the one thing that was predominant was the fact that you can't get folks to do anything in church anymore. Now, I know that's a hard statement. Churches are wilting and dying because folks don't want to do anything. We enjoy coming to church. We enjoy sitting around the table. But we don't enjoy going out in the fields and doing the work. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I talked to numerous pastors, and it's amazing how they all say basically the same thing. Who goes to hell? Very simply, lost sinners. They're the ones that go to hell. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. The unbelievers go to hell. He that believeth not is condemned already. One day, you will believe in him if you don't believe in this world, this life. The Bible said every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It says, he that believeth not, good people, but they're unbelievers. They may have good morals. They may be a good family man. They may provide for their family, do all the things right, but they're unbelievers. You know where they'll spend eternity? In hell. That's what the Bible says. Men want to change it. Men want to soften it. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible is true. If you live in sin and you don't receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you persist to live in sin. You'll spend eternity in hell. When does it begin? Immediately at the end of a misspent life. We know how to escape it. Repent of your sins. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. We're going to have a special day on October the 28th, August the 26th. And it's going to be our back-to-school kind of roundup after summer, try to get everybody back in church. But on the day before that, we're going to have a canvas. We're going to canvas as much as we can and invite folks to come. We'll have revival coming up in September with Brother Dan. We will have our Grandparents' Day in September, the Fall Festival in October. We've got a lot of things planned. It's going to take a lot of people to get it done. But you know why we do what we do? If we can just reach somebody for Christ. If we can just some way, somehow get through that veneer and be able to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, I'm not real good at that. I'm not real comfortable. I'm not real comfortable doing that particular kind of thing." But we need to learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Because time is passing and folks are dying. You know, I mentioned this Wednesday night. And it was stated by one of the preachers about, you know, you drive down the road sometimes in your automobile and all of a sudden that little light comes on and says, "Check engine." And if you don't do it, something bad's going to happen. And I really believe that there are times that God has the check engine light spiritually to come on in our lives. And he says, "You need to check this. You need to tend to this." Now, we're Christians. We're not perfect, and that's been stated. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But every now and then, we've got to do some retooling in our own life. And there are things in our own heart and life that are not what they ought to be. And we're kind of drifting. We get calloused. And we just go through the motions. Brethren, don't let yourself get like that. If your check engine light spiritually is on, then you need to tend to it. Need to tend to it. Keep your focus on the things that God says to focus on. And if we'll do that, God will help us to reach a lot of people for the cause of Christ. Will you pray with me?